The scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 8. I want to read a few verses. You'll see a few there in the worship bulletin in the sermon notes area. And I want to address the theme, when God is absent or silent. From Jeremiah 8. O my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people who are in a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is their king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Shall we pray? Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Meanwhile, where is God? Meanwhile, where is God? C.S. Lewis, one of the prominent authors out of England, who was in the beginning sort of an agnostic, a university professor, came to a place in his life when he believed in Christ. Late in his life, he married, and he married a woman named Joy Davidson. Unfortunately, after only 3 years of very happy marriage, Joy died. In his book, A Grief Observed, this is how he begins. Meanwhile, where is God? Listen to C.S. Lewis. This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you feel no need of God, so happy you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, you'll be received with open arms. But go to him in your when your need is desperate, go to him when all help is vain. What do you find? A door slammed in your face, bolted and double bolted on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. There are no lights in the windows. It may be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seems so once. And that seeming was as strong as this. What can this mean? Why is God so present a commander in our times of prosperity and so very absent of help in our time of need? This is a theme that Jeremiah carries in his book. When God is absent, is a theme in the book of Jeremiah. It's a long book. Jeremiah started out his prophet life, his ministry life, as a very young man. When God called Jeremiah, who lived in 500 to 600 years before Christ, God called him to preach to the people, but Jeremiah was a young man, probably a teenager. And his response, instead of, "Here am I, send me," like Isaiah the prophet, his response was, "Oh Lord, I am too young to be a prophet." He had a tough job. The people of Israel were going up and down and all around. And just like they had done ever since they left Egypt, they were wondering where God was. Every time they had a hard time, every time there was opposition, they would look for God and say that God couldn't be found. And Jeremiah is preaching to that situation with the people of God. In the scripture I read this phrase, "Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there?" How would we say it? Where is God? I can't find God. God has left me. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is saying. I cannot find God. My people can't find God. He goes on to say in verse 19, "Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away." And then he goes on to say, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" Balm of Gilead was a healing ointment. And of course, he's using the metaphor. And he finishes the verse, "Is there no physician here? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people?" He goes on to say, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears." Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. When he preaches, he cries. He's preaching to a people who have wandered away from God, but the way they interpret it is that God has wandered away from them. God, in their minds, is absent. God also appears to be absent in our lives. We feel God absent when there is a career loss or a career failure. So many of us wrap up our identity in our career. When asked, "Who are you?" we often answer with that as our identity. When God is absent, we're not sure who we are anymore. And God is not there when we reach out or we call out or pray. It seems that God is absent when word comes back from a doctor's lab, and that word talks about a test that was positive. All the dreams we looked forward to are suddenly put on hold. Where is God? Where is God when you feel you have failed as a parent? You had hopes and dreams. You had hoped so much. You don't understand. Where was God? You pray, you read the Bible, you gather with Christian friends, but you can't find God. Or if God is there, it seems that God is not. And it seems that God is silent. There's no answer when you call. It's bad. And you don't know what to do. And in your life and mine, there are seasons when things just go that direction. It's not so much that we have walked away from God, it's that we simply can't find God. I was reminded of a nursery rhyme when I read through this section of Jeremiah. I think you probably know it as well as you know John 3:16. "I'll begin it, you help me finish it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again." People have been saying that since the 1700s. Nothing is going to improve the situation. Where is God? "I'll never be back together again." Then you go to the Old Testament. Not only is God absent in our lives, God is absent or silent in Job's life. Job is the classic story of suffering and the absence of God in the Old Testament. There are several books in the Bible just about suffering and sadness. Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, about half the Psalms, I think. They all teach us that God's people, even though God loves them and they love God, God's people have seasons of suffering and seasons when God seems silent. The story begins. "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job." We have to guess where the land of Uz is. There is no Uz on the map that we can find. So it's sort of like a story. We're not sure exactly where it fits in the history of the people. We're not even sure where it fits in terms of when it was written, when it was told. But it's kind of like we say, once upon a time in a faraway place, wise, there was a man. And Job suffered. He didn't start out suffering. He started out as a wealthy man, as a healthy man, and his family was all healthy. He had a big family. It was kind of like, some of you remember, like Woebegone, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average. It was that kind of family that Job had. He had a good life. It was all good. That's how it started. But the problems of Job are the problems of the human race, because Job came to a place where he felt God was absent. We wrestle with the absence of God. Job moves from being blessed to being cursed, from being healthy to being covered with sores, from being happily married to a wife that says, "Curse God and die." She needed to take a Dale Carnegie course. It was bad. But I think Job felt the same way. How do I respond to a God who is absent, who's been so good to me and now is gone? And then there's a radical shift in the story. Wonderful turns into horrible. Blessing becomes cursing. And in the story of Job, he actually becomes a victim of Satan, who kind of has his way with Job and his family, his whole community. And he loses everything. He was known for wisdom. Now he has no idea of wisdom. Then his friends show up. They don't help. They're not too sure God is present. And they think God is punishing Job because he's done something wrong. There's no explanation for this absence feeling. Where is the God, his friends say, who was with him during the good times? I can hear them saying something like this: "Job, what did you do wrong? Job, you need to tell us what you did wrong. Did you drift away from God?" You and I have met Christians who think that way, don't we? They make suffering worse for their friends who suffer. You've heard this: "The reason you're in the hospital is a matter of spiritual warfare." Well, it's just not very comforting. Not very theologically appropriate. Not very pastorally appropriate. Or this one is heard more often: "God promises to heal if we have enough faith. If you just had enough faith, if you just prayed longer or more boldly, you'd be healed." The good news, friends, is that a feeling of God's absence in suffering doesn't mean you've done something wrong. But the question is still there. Where is God? Where can I find him? The wrap-up to Job's feeling is found toward the end of the book, where Job cries out to God, "I cry out to you for help, and you don't answer me. I stand, and you ignore me." Ever felt that way? God is also absent to Jesus. That's a surprise. But focus on Jesus on the cross and listen to the words that come out of the mouth of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's a quote from a psalm, Psalm 22. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's what the psalmist feels. God is absent to the psalmist. "Oh my God, I cry by day, you do not answer, and by night I find no rest." Psalm after psalm after on the same theme. Where are you, God? Are you hiding from me? But you and I know, and Job knew, and Jesus knew, and the psalmist knew, there were seasons when God seemed far, far away. But is God really absent? Though it feels like God is absent, God is present. That's the good news. And I want to work there for a little bit. Yes, the reality of the feeling of absence is there. But even during those times, God is actually present. God was not absent when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in the same short period of time, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Sounds like God is not far away. This would have been a prayer that Jesus knew by memory since his early years. This would have been the prayer that would have been kind of like, perhaps you're now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to you. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Into your hands I commend my spirit. When it feels like God is absent, God is present. God was not absent in the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You heard the story last Sunday. We had a great message with our guest preacher. And I thought I'd give you a little different flavor here. So we have a scripture reading, or a storytelling, actually, of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. Let's play that.
So this is where we are in the story.
God made a perfect world, but people messed it up. They chose not to love and obey God.
But some people still make good choices, like three guys who had really strange names.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
They were Daniel's friends.
Remember? He's the guy that spent the night in the lion's den.
They were really important because they worked for the king.
His name was Nebuchadnezzar.
Try to say that three times fast.
Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar.
They decided to make a huge statue out of gold.
It would be really tall so everyone could see it.
And every time the people heard trumpets,
everyone had to stop what they were doing
and pray to the giant statue.
If they didn't,
they would get thrown in the fiery furnace.
It's like a huge fireplace.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew God
and knew they shouldn't pray to anyone else.
No one else.
He said so himself.
So when everyone else bowed to the statue to pray,
they did not.
And people noticed.
It was a big deal.
The king was furious.
But he decided to give them a second chance.
They told the king,
we haven't changed our minds.
If you throw us in the fire, God can save us.
And if he doesn't, we still won't pray to your statue.
The king was furious.
He had them in handcuffs.
He told his guards to turn the heat up in the furnace.
And threw them inside.
Things were not looking good for them.
But after a few minutes,
the king looked inside the furnace,
and guess what he saw?
Four guys
just walking around.
Not hurt at all.
And who was that fourth guy?
The king went to the furnace and yelled,
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out here!
And they walked out of the fire.
They weren't burned at all.
They didn't even smell like smoke.
The king was shocked.
He changed his mind right then and there.
And he said no one could say anything bad about God.
Because God was so good.
Then he said,
no God has ever pulled off a rescue like this.
And you know what?
Later, God would pull off another great rescue.
But that's another part of the story.
That's a different way. Our kids could have done this story. They could have done better than this, I'm sure, but this is what we have today. To retell the story of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the fourth person in the furnace. Now, theologically, we cannot connect directly the fourth man in the furnace and Jesus Christ. Some commentators pull that together, some interpret it that way. We can't say it with a great deal of confidence, but it is easy to think about this is how Jesus shows up when it feels like he's absent. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And oh, by the way, when I'm gone, I'll send the Holy Spirit to be with you. My presence will always be with you. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the middle of a fire, when surely it seemed God would be absent, discovered that God was present. And God was not ultimately absent from Job. This is what Job says, "Oh, if I could just find him. If only I could go to his dwelling." And toward the end of the story, Job gets his wish. The Lord answered Job out of the storm. And if you know the end of the story of Job, everything gets restored. It's a great ending to a great story. My friend, God is not absent from you. It may feel like it. Life is like that. It's not always because you have disobeyed God or you've chosen to walk away from God. If you have walked away from Him, He is still there with you. Feeling or no feeling. God's presence comes in different ways. Sometimes you hear a word from the Lord and it just sort of makes sense to you and you know that God is here. Sometimes you read a passage from the Bible that's just for you in that very season of your life and you feel that God is present. God is present in the good times. God is present in the bad times. And God shows up in ways you don't always imagine. One of my favorite authors, now deceased, is Lewis Smedes, a seminary professor at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California, and a prolific author of Christian practical ways of thinking. One of the best books I've given out over the years is called Forgive and Forget. It sort of explains the difference. And then I think the very favorite is How Can It Be Right When Everything Is Wrong? I think he writes out of experience. Listen to this story out of Lewis Smedes' life. Although he was devoted to God, he suffered from a sense of inadequacy that at times took Lewis Smedes into deep depression. At one point in his life, he stopped preaching because he felt unqualified to preach. And God came to him through two avenues. One was a three-week experience of utter solitude. And in that solitude, he heard God promise to lift him up out of the blackness of the pit of depression he was in. But he says there was another avenue, and he describes it this way. I have not been neurotically depressed since that day. Though I must, to be honest, tell you, that God also comes to me each morning and offers me a 20 milligram capsule of Prozac. He clears the garbage that accumulates in the canals of my brain overnight and gives me a chance to get a fresh morning start. Every time I swallow a capsule, I give thanks to God. I know that some people would think swallowing a pill would be a sign of weak faith in God. But what if a pill is not a substitute for God, but a gift for God? We would write more books about God being present when life is good. What if refusing to swallow might be spurning God's hand because of pride or misunderstanding? Maybe. Just maybe, he writes, God is present in wise doctors and medication that make your body and brain work right. You see, God is present, even when it seems like he's absent. There's a story out of the hostage situation in Iran. 444 days they were in captivity, personnel. After they were rescued, they were given some days of privacy at West Point, and in that private time, they were interviewed by some journalists. One of the fellows was trying to explain his deepest emotions that he had experienced as a hostage in Iran. He choked back the tears. He just couldn't say anything. He had to express the depths of human suffering that he and the other 51 hostages suffered during the days they were held prisoners. What did you have to read was one of the questions. It was a legitimate question. The officer should be able to answer that kind of question. There was no television or radio, so he should have been reading. The officer regained his composure, and he said, "Sometimes I had very little or nothing to read." And then reverently he added, as though the most precious reading material of his life had been denied him, "I didn't have my Bible, but I had God." And some of us wondered what on earth God was doing during those 440 days. And that officer knew what God was doing. "I didn't have my Bible, but I had God." And that's our cue. Even in the desolation of our souls, when God on a level of feeling is absent, we still have him. He has us. Often I read at a memorial service a passage from Romans that reminds us that God is always there. Paul writes, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate me from the love of God I have in Christ Jesus." When God seems absent, God is actually present. That's good news. Shall we pray? We are all over the spectrum in terms of our feelings, but we all know what it's like not only to experience the peaks, but the valleys. We know what the feelings of your absence are like. We do not enjoy them. But by faith and with confidence, and by stories of people from the past, we acknowledge that you really are present. In this room, this very day, if there is one person who's been looking for you, may this be the day they realize you've been present. We pray in the name of Christ.